Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
You know, let's dive in and see what we can do tonight to explore. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. To get us started, ever been to a big funeral? Think of the biggest funeral you've ever been to. Maybe you've been to a funeral, big funeral. Did a little research, biggest, largest funerals ever. Ready? Some of you could probably guess some of the funerals. First one, I think, come up here, Princess Diana. Remember that one? Some of you were around then. 3 million people showed up. This image here has, if you can't, the flowers that were just laid as a memorial. Princess Diana. Next one, I was unaware of this. Ayrton Senna, Brazilian Formula One race car driver, was killed in a tragic crash. Got an image. The next picture is of the streets are packed. Again, about 3 million people in Brazil showed up when he passed away, that whole thing. Michael Jackson? Michael! His was the first, as best I could tell, although the funeral was not public, it was live through television all over the world. People could tune in to Michael. Does anybody need a tissue? It's sad, isn't it? Michael passed away. Big funeral. Last one, Pope John Paul II. Could have been the biggest. They're just not sure how many people showed up. Somewhere between 2 and 4 million people showed up for his funeral. Just make a little transition here, just so you know, this is my guess about your future. Won't have that many show up for yours. By the way, that's the prediction for my many funerals. And the reality, most of them are really, really pretty small. Sometimes, you know, a number of people will show up, hang around for what? A little while, maybe say a few nice things. A couple people might be really sad, but for the most part, a lot of us show up and say hi and then go to Arby's and go on with life. Isn't that the reality of the way a lot of it works? Well, let me give you this idea. You know what would make it all better? You know what, for me personally, would make it all better? If nobody came to my funeral, and yet God paid attention when I passed away. If none of you showed up, God did, I'd be like, that's all right. If God showed up. Now, I would submit to you, there are folks, when they pass away, they actually get special attention from God. They get noticed by the creator of the universe. And they are people who, when they die, have been in a season, or their death is a significant season of sacrifice in association with their faith. Let's bring up the term martyr. A martyr. Here we go. A person who willingly suffers death rather than renounce his or her religion. A person who is put to death or endures great suffering on behalf of any belief, principle, or cause. A martyr. And I would tell you that reality is they get special attention from God. Let's look at a few scriptures. Revelation 6:9. It's an image in heaven. One of the pictures that we see in heaven, and it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw, this person's having a vision into heaven, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. I would use this to point out, as best we can tell, there's like a special spot in heaven for those who have died for their faith. Another verse. Stephen, an apostle. This is early in the history of the church. Persecution is breaking out. And we know now that at this point, Stephen is about to get killed, stoned, beat to death by stones for his faith. And it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But when Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And then here's what I noticed. He knows he's going to die for his faith. He looks up, and by the way, this is not a dream. This is not a fantasy. He somehow has eyes to see in heaven, and it says he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, just if you don't know this, right now, presently, Jesus is not standing in heaven. He's sitting on the throne in heaven next to the Father. But in this case, the indication would be, knowing Stephen is about to die for his faith, Jesus, he stands up in honor of what is about to happen. So hold those thoughts. We are finishing this series called Heroic Faith, learning from God's great risk takers. And we're going to wrap up the series. We're getting toward the end of chapter 11 in Hebrews. We've looked at a lot of people who maybe you've known their names, famous kind of spiritual people, David, Abraham. Last week, we looked at a not so famous individual, Rahab, the prostitute. And as we're working through this chapter, I'm convinced you get to toward the end of the chapter, what we'll be reading in a moment. And God can't finish the list of heroes in the faith without taking some time and talking about, ready, martyrs or people who have suffered in extreme ways for their faith, the gospel, for being associated with Jesus. So we're going to pick it up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. You can either read the screen or listen or read in your own Bible. So getting toward the end of the chapter, here's what it says. And what more shall I say? Kind of winding up here. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. By the way, this section is still talking about heroic faith, where their faith and God's power worked together, and it worked out really, really well. Like, oh, wonderful, cool, mighty, strong things happen. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. And then here's a transition. There were, and I want to pause here just to make sure we honor this transition. Now we're going to talk about those whose stories didn't turn out quite so wonderfully. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Title of the talk this weekend is Untold Others, Stories Without Happy Endings. And on one hand, the title's really good because in the natural realm, this side of heaven, there really are the unhappy endings. But I also wrestle with, I kind of wanted to change the title too, because the reality is when they transition into eternity, there would be no sadness about how they lived their life here. So in some ways, it's an unhappy. In other ways, it's a real happy ending. That's why I put the picture of the guy who's happy. And here's the big idea. The big idea is we have an opportunity to live our life in such a way so that when we pass, even if no one shows up to the funeral, I think we could transition and be like, oh yeah. I made good decisions because this is looking good for me. Really, the goal would be like when we trip. By the way, y'all going to die at some point. Did you know that? Or Jesus may come back and we'll transition. But when it happens, how we live now really makes a difference on whether we're smiling afterwards or not. So I want to give you two ideas. I think keys to experiencing a huge afterlife smile, an afterlife smile. So let me pause and pray, and then I'm going to give you a couple things to think about. These are like martyr mentality. These are things that I see these people did really, really well. So let's pray. God, will you speak to us? Some of us might live another 5 years. There might be people in the room live another 50 or more, 60 or 70. But ultimately, the end's going to come, and I do pray that the kinds of things we're talking about tonight would really stick. So open our ears, Lord, open our hearts, and talk to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So a couple keys to experiencing a huge afterlife smile. And the first thing, if you'd like to write this down on your handout, An afterlife smile comes from an unusual focus on, write it down, eternal rewards. On eternal rewards. And we're going to dissect one verse a little bit. If we can put the verse up here. There were others who were tortured. Isn't this interesting? Refusing to be released. Now, the indication here is that that they had an opportunity. Like someone said, you can go home if you want to. Mr., you're being tortured or imprisoned, or Mrs., you're right. And they could have gone home, but they went, nah, I'll stay. And you, what? That they might gain an even better resurrection. So the first thing I want to explore a little bit, this refuse to be released from what? And the scripture indicated a few things in there from basically, here's what, imprisonment, torture. We walked through them. The one thing that caught my attention, did you hear it when we were reading it? People who were sawed in two. Did you catch that when we read it? Did anybody, we just kind of breezed right through it when I was reading it and studying it this week. I was like, whoa. Other mistreated, some of them, they were put in a stone. They were sawed in two. Now, I explored that a little bit, did a little bit of study, because that's kind of a new idea. And I was actually thinking about lightening up this part a little bit, because it's going to get really serious for a moment, and felt like God said, don't you dare lighten this up, because we're talking about people who gave their life. So, you're not going to be too graphic here, but found an image that's, I think, livable. I don't know if you can see that. There were exploring in the things that I studied here, different methods of death by sawing. See, methods of death by sawing. This was a real thing. Have been recorded in cases related to the Roman emperor, that guy, whatever. The sawing is said to have been through the middle. Sometimes it had happened this way, or they explained in the middle. In the cases of Morocco, it stated that the sawing was lengthwise, both from the groin and upwards, or from the skull, and that they would split a person in half. Just a side note, this is not like some horror film chainsaw massacre thing that we watch for entertainment value. This is real people, reality stuff. So I want you to imagine with me, don't be scared, front row. Well, you might, I don't know, you could be. I want to try to take you through a mental exercise to think what this would have been like and who it was who, when someone gave them an opportunity to leave, they said, I'm going to stay that I might have a better resurrection. So you can just imagine, okay, so this is like real world. This is like this is my friend's chainsaw. Just so you know, this could do the job. I'm not going to start it. This could do the job. And so if you can imagine persecution breaking out here in the United States, and we're in some kind of a forum or store, maybe they just came in here, and here's what they said. By the way, in your past experience in this imaginary thing we're talking, you know that this is the saw that they use, because you know you were there 6 weeks ago when they sawed somebody else in half. All right, this is not make-believe, this is not a threat. And you may have known them. Could have been your brother, sister in Christ, could have been a family member, could have been your uncle, all right? And so the executioner stands in front of you with the saw that they used to do this stuff, and then here's what he says. Here's the deal. Some of you are going to lose your life today. We're going to cut you in half. Not going to, this way, this doesn't much matter. We're going to use this, we're going to cut you in half. Or you're dismissed and you can go. And what happened is some in the room said, I'll stay. That's what they, and so the big question, the million-dollar question is, what are they thinking? And the scripture actually tells us, right? What are they thinking? They're thinking about attaining a better, they're thinking about their future, a better resurrection because of what they sacrifice today. An even better resurrection is what they're talking about. I looked at that word better. Guess what it means? Better. It means better, even better. Better, better things, greater. And then I thought this, the most excellent resurrection. Now I want to punch something in here that's super important, because I think sometimes we don't have the right understanding of what the afterlife, eternity is going to be like. And so you can write this down. We're going to explore it. This is theological clarity, folks. Write this down. All afterlife experiences are not created equal. They're not. Don't let someone tell you they are. And at this point, we're not talking about the worst afterlife experience, which is hell. All heavenly afterlife experiences are not created equal. All experiences in heaven are not the same. Let's look at least three verses here. Here we go. This first verse is teaching on living with eternity in mind. And it says, if anyone builds on this foundation, Paul, the Apostle Paul's teaching, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, hay, or straw, they're talking about ways you live and put together your life. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, the day will bring it to light. That's the end of time, day kind of a thing. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one, and this is as one escaping through the flames. What's this talking about? Here's this individual that it's talking about. They get to heaven because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. How many of you know we don't pay for heaven? we get forgiven by Jesus Christ. He paid for the forgiveness of our sin. But this individual here escaping through the flames, they get to heaven, and when they get there, nothing in this life transfers to that life. There was no sacrifice. There was no, you know, the spiritual. They just got the free gift and didn't store up for themselves treasures. I thought this was interesting as one escaping through the flames. And I heard a guy talk one time, and he explored the thought that these are the kind of people, they make it into heaven. They get forgiven, but they just make it through the flames, and they actually still smell like smoke. Like, so in heaven, you know, there might be groups, and you're, hey, how's it going? Yeah, and you'd be like, wow, you just barely made it in here, didn't you? Yeah. But because they didn't bring anything with them. They didn't live their life in such a way that they stored up any treasure in heaven. The next verse that we're going to look at is different. It challenges us. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. A lot of us know this, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. There is a concept. How we live today determines what we get to carry. It's not the same, you know, what we're storing up in heaven. So this is the concept. This person, they don't just make it, you know, like kind of smelling like smoke. They get there and they're welcomed and receive things. The next one more. This is right after Jesus has had an interaction with a rich ruler. Jesus gives him this amazing invitation and says to the rich ruler, sell everything you have, come follow me. I personally think that was an invitation to be an apostle. I think he was like, come and follow me. But the rich guy couldn't give up the material stuff, so he said no. And Peter asks him a phenomenal question. Because see, Peter and the apostles, they had given up a lot of things. And so Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. Just, I can see this happening. What then will there be for us? Because we've done some sacrificing here. In other words, this is a pretty practical question. Is this a good deal for us, or are we just being goofy, making all these sacrifices? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, that's transition into eternity, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, talking to the apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or father or mother or sacrifice, those who have given things up or children or fields for my sake, and then here it is, will receive. You give it up now, you will receive in eternity. By the way, 100 times it's received and it's multiplied. You can write this down. Heroic faith sacrifices now, knowing the rewards come later. The rewards come later. And just to be clear, the later here is a long time you get to enjoy the rewards. I had a new thought, kind of a maybe a little more clarity on a thought as I was considering this. And you can write this next thing down just right away. Go ahead. Later isn't a moment of pleasure. It isn't a moment of pleasure. It's an eternity of better. When we sacrifice now, we don't get a good time in eternity. We get good times that never end. The improvements don't stop. I thought of an old verse from the King James Version that talks about, maybe you've heard this. Jesus said to his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. places, rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And here was my new thought. In the past, I've always thought, you know, if you get to heaven and maybe you get a mansion or this nice place God has prepared for you. I don't know why. I always kind of thought of it as like a nice little vacation spot. Like Jesus would say, hey, here's your reward. You get to go spend 3 weeks in that thing. Whoa. And then you know what changed this week? That's not the way it works. That's yours, and you get to spend today, tomorrow, and whether the benefit is a physical home, you know, all the good things, folks, they're not, you get to use them for a while. It gets to be, no, you get to own them forever. All the improvements, never, you know how many times we work for little improvements in this life that are only going to last for a little while, but when we sacrifice for the name of Christ, the improvements that we get in heaven, they just go on and on and on and on. And then after that, you know what happens? They go on and on and on for a while. They never rust or corrode. And then you know what happens after that? Then they go on, and then they go on after that. So you do that for a while, and then are you getting the point? Then what happens, everybody? Then it goes on. Are you getting this? And then they go on. Everybody who's listening, on. And it's just what? This is not an ending thing. It just keeps going, and then finally at the end, which there is none, because they just go on and on and on. That is one stinking good trade. When we sacrifice now, makes a big, so get practical. Think of some of the things that you have given up, you may give up for the sake of the gospel. Little things, big things. You're not silly for sacrificing for the kingdom, because the treasures that come, I had one thing come to my mind, and it's not all that important, and I almost resist comparing it to what these, I do resist. The people in the scripture that gave their life and lived in holes and were sawed into and all those things. Some years ago, just for fun, and I've always kind of wanted to be a Harley wannabe guy, motorcycle. I've liked motorcycles my whole life, and so it'd be kind of cool to have a Harley. Sorry about that. It just thinks it would make me feel a little bit cooler if I had a big, loud motorcycle kind of thing. So anyway. So years ago, a friend gave me this little Harley jar, and I've called it my Harley fund for years. Matt, how long have I don't know, like 18 years I've had a Harley fund. But you know what happens to my Harley fund? Like a lot of times, I can think of one time it wasn't. But what'll happen is I'll start to get money, and I'll start to gather it in there, and I think this is my money, and if I get this much, then maybe I could be cool too. It's never going to happen. Anyway, the last time I was actually getting like some amount in the Harley fund so that I wasn't keeping it in the jar. I was like a bank account, kind of like, whoa, I might actually. And then guess what happened? We had this opportunity to help the orphans in Sudan. A lot of you know we do a lot of work over in Sudan, and the kids needed food and stuff. And so guess what God did? Hello. You really need a motorcycle. And so it wasn't that difficult of a decision, but the Harley fund, which had really become something, like maybe. And so, but here was my thought. In heaven, like if that all's worth it, that whole, in heaven, if a Harley really would be that great, God surely, I don't know if there are Harleys in heaven. I don't know. But, oh, wait, there are. Someone just told me there are. Okay. So there are. But I'll tell you, there are treasures. And so we're just pretending here. But if there's a Harley in heaven, my guess is God can give me a Harley that'll be way better than anything my Harley fund could have bought here on this earth. And it would be an amazing one. And it would be so awesome. It'd be like the best kind and the best one. And you'd never have to change the oil. Never get stuck by the road. Do you understand? And then if you get that treasure, you know how long that goes? It goes on and on and on. And then after you're done riding it for a while, then you can get on and ride it more. And you get it? We're not crazy for sacrificing now for eternal things. So an afterlife smile comes from an unusual focus on eternal rewards. Let's hit one more thing before we close. Second thing, an afterlife smile comes from an awareness An awareness of our real destiny. Our real destiny. Now, I'm using an old, this is E.T.'s from forever ago, back in the 80s or 90s. And it's this story of a little alien dude that shows up on Earth. Anybody remember E.T.? Okay. I used E.T. because all the new aliens that tend to show up in movies are here to, like, kill us and eat us and take over our planet. Well, E.T. was a different, little bit different kind of story. And so, just to remind you, here's a little clip of the E.T. kind of movie thing. Watch this. Those of you who were alive back then, it was like, it was everywhere. The phrase called E.T. phone home. E.T. This whole crazy home thing. So when and the tension in the movie, right, was E.T. E.T. had an awareness, this is not where I'm supposed to live. And all this energy and effort was to try to get him to the place where he was actually created to be. There are some parallels with that kind of a thought with us. It's a consistent theme in Scripture. If you know Jesus Christ, folks, this is not our home. We will not fit in here perfectly. There will be tension because where we're really created to be is yet in our future in heaven, place without sin. So here's a few verses. John says about his disciples that they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Next verse. Paul says, their mind is set on earthly things. Talking about non-believers, those who don't yet know Christ yet. But our citizenship is in heaven. I think we got one more. Dear friends, I urge you, Paul's addressing, if you're a Christian, he is addressing you, he's addressing me. Therefore, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, another translation says foreigners and aliens. You can write this down. One reason we should smile at death is because we will finally be home. E.T. phone home. We will be home, and it'll be better. Two closing thoughts, just to bring it in the room, wrap it up. There's things for us to consider right here. First one, this is for those of us, you're living for Jesus now, you're making some sacrifices, but life is hard. And you're like, what's going on? Am I doing something wrong? Here's one idea for you to consider. Here we go, put it up. You're not supposed to fit in. There are times, now by the way, if you're not fitting in just because you're being a jerk in life, That's not what we're talking about. But if you're not fitting in because you're following Christ and you're doing things that the world just wouldn't normally do, you're not supposed to. They're supposed to. There will be tension if we live as followers of Jesus. Keep following. Second closing thought for us to consider. This is for those of us, we're living for the now too much. This has to do with the treasure and just too much. Too much focus. And I'm not saying don't enjoy some of the things that you have. You should. Follow, you know, after church today, if you're going to go out to eat or something, enjoy the meal. I'm not saying don't enjoy anything. But we can focus so much on that it can be a problem. And here's the thing. Here's the challenge. Don't shortchange eternity. We will be wise to live knowing that eternity's coming. And you know how long it is? It goes on and on and on and on. Good things to think about. Why don't you stand? And we'll close. We're having our kind of what our regular times of prayer following the service over here. The prayer team will be up here. If you've got anything going on and you want some personal prayer, it may have something to do with the talk tonight. It may have something to do with something else going on that is so hurting in your life. You didn't even hear one word I just said. You just know you came to church because things aren't. Come up and let the prayer team pray about those hurting areas in your life. Over here, I'm going to do a group prayer, especially for this whole concept of being more mindful of eternity. Okay, just more mindful of eternity. And so, not sure exactly how that prayer will go, but if you'd like to be part of that, join me right here after the closing. Let's close. God, we thank you for this time. I pray your power, your blessing, your words would be on the prayer team as they serve people that have very real difficulties going on in their life. Do some miracles among us. Lord, I know that we all don't get healed in this life, but sometimes we do. Sometimes there's wonderful victories. So we pray for some wonderful victories tonight. And also guide me as I do the group prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.